The series tonight, continuing the imperfect prayer life and the desire for communion with God. And last week, the two studies are related. Last Sunday night, we took quite a bit of time looking at the way in which Christians can grieve the Holy Spirit. You wouldn't think that that would be an occurrence that even happens. The culture we live in, the climate of the day, the things that distract and pull us in different directions. It's possible for Christian people to grieve the Holy Spirit. We looked at that last Sunday night. Tonight is different. How can you know when the Holy Spirit is at work in your heart? How can I sense His helping presence? We looked at that text where the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, Romans 8. How do I know? How do I know when it's the Holy Spirit and when it's just me thinking thoughts? Distinguishing between the Holy Spirit and just my own efforts, my own ideas, my own thoughts. I have about 4 or 5 points. You'll see that they all revolve around the same theme, slightly different in emphasis each time. So here are certain signs that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. 1, the Holy Spirit will bring a growing distress over the condition of the sinful world around you or a backslidden church. I was looking at those words, confusing to some people. 2 Corinthians 4:10. We are always, he's talking about the apostles and the early followers of Christ, we are always carrying in the body, somewhat his body, Paul's body, we are always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. Like, what does that mean? Does it mean just thinking that Jesus died on the cross? What's he talking about? We always carry around, always, all the time, carrying around in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. It says there's a way of looking at things, thinking about things that the Holy Spirit produces. It's a negative and a positive thing. The hard words, carrying around in the body the death of Jesus. Paul doesn't mean that he just walked around with a dour disposition, depressed about life. This is the same apostle, remember, who instructed the Christians at Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always, Philippians 4:4. So what does this mean, carrying around in the body the death of Jesus? I think Paul is describing the way in which the Holy Spirit produces an inward sympathy in Don Horben with the heart of Jesus. Inwardly feeling the pain of sin that drove Christ to the cross. That's why he says we carry around the death of Jesus. The weight of that kind of world, the seriousness of sin. The Holy Spirit works in sympathy. It's not just a temperament thing. It's a consciousness of the danger of sin. In my life, in the culture around us, they don't see it, they don't sense it, they don't worry about it, but I carry around the death of Jesus, the attitude of Christ towards sin that cost him his life in sacrifice. Yeah, the Holy Spirit, gentle like a dove, but still removes any easy tolerance in my heart to the things that grieve our Creator God. Any mind that's accepting of compromise in little choices, compromising with the standards of the culture around me, compromising my Christian convictions, in just tiny, the Holy Spirit speaks, and I don't take seriously what he says, the weight that he brings to bear on my heart. Whenever there's an accepting of Christ-like, unchrist-like conduct, you'll know that that's self. That's not the Holy Spirit. Anytime I have a light attitude, here's the course of action. Here's what I'm contemplating. A lot of other people are. How serious can it be? And the Holy Spirit wants to come and bring a counterweight where this will suddenly matter a lot more. It'll matter to me. I won't be able to ignore this as easily when the Holy Spirit does that work in my heart. The same idea we studied last week in Romans 8, 26 and 27, where Paul says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. I can't always bring myself to that kind of costly inward honesty in my prayer. I can ignore certain things, pray for God's blessing in certain areas. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. The Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit burdens the heart of the intercessor. He shapes thoughts and prayers in the direction of God's will rather than the values and tastes of the surrounding culture. When those things rise to the top of my prayer list, it's pretty good evidence that I'm not listening to what the Holy Spirit wants me interceding about. The Holy Spirit establishes an inward conflict in Don Horben with sin. I can't be as easy toward it as I would be without the Holy Spirit's help. 2. You'll see the relationship here. The Holy Spirit sets Christians at odds with the world. 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. We're set at odds with the world around us. Maybe Jesus said it best in John 15:18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Or 15:24, if I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they've seen and hated both me and my Father. Or John 17:14, I am giving them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who produces the likeness of Jesus in our hearts. But they persecuted Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit creates a likeness to Jesus in my heart, he produces this distance automatically between our new natures and the course of this world. He's the Holy Spirit. 3. This is slightly different again. The Holy Spirit brings a freshly realized inward conflict with Satan. You see Paul's words in Ephesians 6, 10, and 11, where he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So the nature of the conflict, Paul identifies it. He's not talking about demons hiding in the bush waiting to jump on you when you walk by. He's talking about the thought life, schemes. The place where the Holy Spirit wants to start victory in my life is in the thought life. The place the Holy Spirit brings victory is the mental life of the Christian. He exposes the kind of thoughts that are just schemes, because I wouldn't see it on my own. I need his help. There are attitudes that shape the minds of billions of people that are just the normal way of thinking in a fallen world. And the world does not sense that it is oppressed by Satan. It has no concept of that. The world just considers the most twisted things a part of the normal thinking process. The Holy Spirit comes and says, no, those are schemes of the devil. That's a key in understanding Paul's meaning in that passage. The Holy Spirit exposes what are accepted as normal thought patterns of the world around us as schemes of the enemy. And here's the thing. What the Holy Spirit wants to do in all of our lives is expose deceptions before they produce bondage in outward actions. That's how the Holy Spirit works in the Christian mind. Exposing deceptions before they produce outward actions. He leads us away from temptation before we're caught in what the psalmist called the snare of the enemy. Tonight we'll say in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. There's stuff there that without the help of the Holy Spirit, it will gum up my life unless I'm listening and attentive to the work of the Holy Spirit in my heart. The point here is only the Holy Spirit creates this conflict with the devil. Most of the world is numb to the kind of deception it is under. I was looking at Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. Paul writes and he writes to Christians in the church at Ephesus, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. Look, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among whom, look, he says, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, that's all that these godless people sense is going on. They're carrying out the desires of body and mind. What Paul says is they were following the prince of the power of the air, just a verse earlier. But they're not making that connection. It takes the Holy Spirit to work and show the reality of those kinds of spiritual conflicts. He says, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. He says, and we were all by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. It takes the Holy Spirit to show me that you can pick whatever blatant offensive sinner you want to pick. And I'm willing to see the devil working in all sorts of situations like that. What is hard for me to accept is that Paul says, we were all like that before the Holy Spirit came. And so you say, well, I'm not a rapist. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a thief. And so, I mean, I might admit that I'm a sinner, but I'm not a sinner like that. And Paul says what the Holy Spirit does is he'll come and show how we all walked in the course of this world, not manifesting in exactly the same way, but all lost, all condemned, all under the prince of the power of the air. That's where we are without Christ. It takes the Holy Spirit to convince me of that in my own heart and life. You remember Jesus talked to Peter and he said, Satan desired to sift you, but I prayed for you. 4. Here's how else you can tell when the Holy Spirit's at work in your life. The Holy Spirit brings a deeper sense of conflict with self. I'm not talking about Satan here. Galatians 5:17. For the desires of the flesh, just my own natural desires, are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. They are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So this is the battle we all face, the battle with the pull of our own fallen desires. And the Holy Spirit, if given any space at all, will bring a growing distaste for the fulfillment of my own desires in my own self-interest. Doesn't occur at the same pace in every Christian. Some find immediate victory over the most binding habits of the old life. Other people walk a more gradual path of renewal and growth. There's a lot to learn there. I mean, pray for people and encourage people with patience. But the main point here, especially in charismatic circles, the main point is the Holy Spirit is not given simply to make me feel happy and blessed all the time. I'm convinced this happens, where all of a sudden the life and the joy go out and there's this constant sense of conflict. The struggle with sin is not necessarily a sign that the Holy Spirit is not present in your life. A struggle against sin is pretty good evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. It's just a different feel than you're used to. When you're singing the latest chorus and the band's playing and the music's good and everybody's happy, here's something else the Holy Spirit does. He burdens the heart. A struggle with sin is not a sign that the Spirit isn't present. And in fact, creating that struggle with inward desires that aren't going to do me any good, even though they cry out for attention, it's part of the Holy Spirit's job to help me struggle against some of those things. I think there can be confusion at that point. A conflict with selfish desires isn't the same as condemnation for sin. Those are two different things. Look at Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So those are Christians, right? Christians who struggle with sin. But how much condemnation do they feel? You can answer me. None. No condemnation. How does that work? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, well, that's what we're talking about tonight. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Now, every word is important. The verse does not teach that we are instantly delivered from any struggle with sin. It doesn't teach that. What we are immediately delivered from is condemnation of the law. This is what makes freedom and growth in actual holiness a genuine possibility. We are free to pursue holiness in the power of the Spirit so that it's out of love for Christ and the freedom he has given. That doesn't make me careless about sin. It's a motive. I can't live under the rule of desires that put him on the cross because he's my Lord. We're free to pursue holiness in the inward power of the Spirit without living in fear that Jesus doesn't love us anymore and we're condemned. It's love for Jesus, not condemnation, that motivates my hatred of sin. Let me say that again. It's love for Jesus, not condemnation for sin, that makes me want to be as holy as I can be for my Lord. 5. Last point. The Holy Spirit brings a deeper awareness of the peace we have with God. And I don't
That's not contradictory to the Holy Spirit brings a deeper conflict with my own desires. Both of those things are true. The Holy Spirit brings a deeper awareness of the peace we have with God. Romans 5, 1 and then 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, that's us, Christian people, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why would we have peace through Jesus Christ? Think about it. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ because he was absolutely sinless, right? He was absolutely sinless. I am in Christ. I'm not absolutely sinless. I'm struggling to get there. I work hard to get there, not under the law, but because I love Jesus. That's the fuel for my desire for holiness. But there's no condemnation because I am in Christ. I am clothed, that's the old expression, with perfect righteousness. So there is no condemnation. I have peace with God. And then he says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. This is something else the Holy Spirit does. God's love poured into my heart does not make me lazy or indifferent to inward sin. It provides a more careful, powerful motive to holy living. The Holy Spirit will come into all of our hearts at different times in different ways and bring an awareness of the love that God has for us. And that in no way contradicts what I've said in previous points. With the working of the Holy Spirit, there is greater conflict with Satan, greater conflict with Satan, greater conflict with the world, greater conflict with self-life. Those are the three things we talked about. But at the same time, the love of God by the Holy Spirit at the same time poured into our hearts so that I will never, ever be more sure of his love and his grace and his presence and his peace. Fight with my desires, fight with self, fight with the work of the enemy in our hearts and minds, the culture around us, resist it in the power of the Spirit, but know all the while that God keeps pouring his love into your heart by the same Holy Spirit. So, Pastor Don, which is it? Is the Holy Spirit, is he just come and remind me of how much God loves me and accepts me, or does the Holy Spirit come and create a tension with the world around me? And the answer is yes. Yes.